We thank God for the opportunity to gather with each of you and travel with you. So we want to make sure and welcome you. We welcome you to Calvary Chapel this morning. And truly, we appreciate the opportunity to just see what God would have for all of us. So to all, welcome, welcome. Are you ready? Ready to go for it? Numbers chapter 32. We're traveling through the Bible around here. We've arrived at the book of Numbers chapter 32. The ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. If you're in need of a Bible, just raise your hand. They'd count it a privilege to pass one over to you. If you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. No charge or anything. And for all of us, let's go to Numbers chapter 32. Now, while the Bibles are being passed out, I'd just like to mention, I had announced a couple of weeks in a row that this last week we're going out. We had an opportunity to minister to the drill instructors out at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot this last week. And for those of you who prayed, that was Tuesday we went out there. For those of you who prayed for that, thank you very much. And for those who went along, just want to pass along a well done. Heard good reports back from the chaplain we're working with and all out there. But it really, really was an awesome day. And we're thinking we're going to have some more opportunities ahead to do just this and get involved in ministering to them. And so keep that in prayer and be open to that. But well done. Well done to all of you who were part of that. Good stuff. Good stuff. We're in Numbers chapter 32. We, of course, are traveling with the children of Israel. We have watched them be brought from their captivity. God set them free from their bondage. They began their journey across the wilderness. They came to the border of the promised land, but because of unbelief, because they just couldn't trust that God would give them victory in the land and all, they were turned around and they've been wandering for some 40 years in the wilderness. But now they're back there. As we join them in this passage this morning, the children of Israel have arrived on this area called the Plains of Moab, and they're on the east bank of the Jordan River. They're right across the Jordan River from Jericho, that first city they'll be conquering. So they're right across from the promised land, right across the river from all God has for them there. And that is the case. Across this river is that land that God has been speaking about and promising them for so long. The land they're going to experience all that God has for them. So think about how long it's been, how excited they should be. All the things that they're on the very doorstep of this land in which they'll experience all God has for them. They're only about, they're a short time out from actually crossing the river and going for it. But at this point now, a group of people approach Moses. And we're going to see they have a request of Moses. And we're going to see it's a very, very sad one. Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elalah, Shebam, Nebo, and beyond, the name of the areas there. The country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore, they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. What an interesting, sad request this is. Do not take us over the Jordan. This morning, I believe we are called to look at all that is wrapped up in this request. And as we do, we're going to see that in many ways, it points exactly to where many Christians live today. I've called our time together this morning, Living East of Canaan. Let's pray. Father, as we gather this morning, we thank you. We gather with certain things settled, your love for us, that you sent your Son to pay the price, that for each who's received, truly, we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then in that, Father, you've invited us into a fellowship, a relationship with you, one in which we can discover and walk in all you are. We can truly know you, heart know you. But now, Lord, we also know that you set before us challenges. Because of your love, you want us to take a look at where we're at, where we're at in this whole journey. Lord, let this morning be part of this. Father, I reflect on Jesus who had the strongest word for those who claimed to know you but didn't. Those who settled for less than all you'd have. Lord, don't let us be in that number. But instead this morning, would you speak to us and minister and encourage and challenge as you see needs to happen. So Lord, lead us now, we ask. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's review a little bit what's going on here. Look again at verse 1. It says, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, representatives from those two tribes. We also later on in verse 33 see that it's the half-tribe of Manasseh. And so it's going to wind up being the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and this half-tribe of Manasseh who come with this request. And what we see is, though they're on the east side of the Jordan River, they see that, hey, there's some pastures here, and it's looking pretty good, and it's a good place for livestock, and we've got livestock. So down in verse 4 we read, they declare the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. To understand how this request applies to us today, we have to keep in mind what the promised land is and what it represents. For none of this is meant to be dusty history, of course, but it's written for our sake, for our edification. The land of Canaan is not a picture of heaven, as some would suggest. Some would suggest, well, death is crossing over Jordan, and then heaven is Canaan. But when they get into this promised land, this land called Canaan, we're going to see that there's still going to be a whole lot of battles to fight, enemies trying to come against them, trials and all. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. And it's not. We've talked more in length about this before, but I'm just driving home that point or reminding us of that point. Canaan does not represent heaven. Rather, Canaan in Scripture is supposed to represent the life lived in all that God has for us. It's meant to represent the Spirit-filled life that the Lord would have for every believer. A life lived in discovering and resting in God's promises, His provision, His protection. A life that, yes, although we encounter trials and various things in it, but we have His assurance of His presence, again, and His protection and provision through it all. And it's the life God intends for every believer to experience. We are invited to know Him and walk with Him and experience all that He has for us. This land of Canaan, was a land that God had prepared for the children of Israel. The title was called the land flowing with milk and honey, meaning it was going to be a place of, yes, there would be battles and all, but they'd also find there their needs met and just a place of blessing. They'd be right there in the center of God's will and all for them. That's what it meant. But just as there was a land prepared for the children of Israel, there is a life prepared for His children today. Again, that life that would experience all He has for us. He didn't save us to put us on a shelf, but He saved us to know Him and walk with Him and experience all that He has. Now, with that in mind, understanding what Canaan represents, a life lived in all God has for us, think what it means, think what they're saying when they come and say, don't take us over the Jordan. How very, very sad. To say they want to stay on the east side of Jordan is to say they're happy with what they've got. They're happy with a life lived outside of all God has for them. They've looked around and seen some pretty good pasture land, decided this is good enough for us. Can we just stay here? And it really represents the coasting along life, the settling for today and what we have right now. And that is the application to the followers of Jesus today. Canaan represents all that is in Jesus, all that He has to provide for us. Jesus didn't die on the cross to have us sit right outside the promises and all. Jesus didn't die on the cross that we might sit out there and not enter into all that he has for us. The land of Canaan represents entering into the fullness of the Christian life and all that he died for to impart to us. Now, as these tribes make this request, see, in their mind, I mean, this is near the promised land. It's right next to the promised land. But the point is, it isn't the promised land. Do they think that God can't give them land for their livestock? See, they think there's nothing that God could provide for them in Canaan that could compare to life outside that land. They've decided that this is the best. God certainly won't give us something better there. Just look how great it is here. And so they settle for a life east of the Jordan. Unfortunately, there are people who decide along that same basis today. They can't picture God giving them better than what they have. God having better for them than they picture. Hey, I've worked my life out a certain way. Life's going pretty good right where it is. I'll just stay right here. I've got this kind of distant relationship with God, but everything's going pretty good. I'll just stay right here. And they go with how they see it and how they think it can be and what they've set it up to be. You know, Moses now will respond to them. And he'll go on to tell them, and you're going to see, he's not a happy camper about this request. But the first thing he's going to do, he's going to go on to tell them and remind them that if they do this, they very well could be the source of stumbling God's people once again. If we remember, it was 40 years ago. They were down in Kadesh Barnea, which is a little bit south of here, but still just outside the promised land, on the borders there. And remember, they sent out the spies to check out the land? But except for two of them, the others came back with a bad report. And the people, because they just couldn't believe God, couldn't trust God to take them in and give them victory over the enemies and all that were there. Because of that, God said, okay, this whole generation, you won't enter in. You can't trust me for it. Go ahead and wander. And they wandered for 40 years until that whole generation now has died out. Well, here we have the tribes back here now again at the border of the promised land. And Moses starts reminding them that the people were stumbled by just this sort of thing before. And he challenged me. He says, what are you doing? Let's read about it. Look at verse 6. We haven't read it yet. They've just made their request. Don't take us over the Jordan. Verse 6, and Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Don't you understand that your decision isn't in a vacuum? When you decide to settle for less than all God has, it doesn't impact just you. That's what he's telling them. And he goes on to rehearse for them what had happened before. How because of just the bad report of a few, all the tribes have been kept out. And he warns of that influence, that impact it will have. Go down to verse 14. Let's jump into verse 13. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel. He's explaining. This is Moses explaining to them. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and he will destroy all this people. Moses is saying, don't you understand what you do isn't in a vacuum? And so there's an application for us today, the same thing. If we stay east of Jordan, if we stay outside of going for all God has for us, of moving into that surrendered life with him, that spirit-filled life, if we stay outside of there, it doesn't impact just us. If you have children, parents, that will impact your children. Husbands, it'll impact your marriage. All of us are believers. It impacts other believers. That's what Moses is saying here. If you stay outside of all God has, you're going to cause others to do the same. They're going to miss out also. This choice you're making is going to impact you horribly and also those around you, your brothers and sisters in the Lord and all. So notice, it matters which side of the river you choose to live on. Not just to you, but many others. Now for a moment, put yourself in Moses' shoes. More accurately, put yourself in Moses' sandals. But think about it a moment. Moses would do anything to be able to enter the land. And here are two tribes who can, but don't want to. Think about that a moment. Remember, Moses had been raised up, taken to Egypt, to be used by God to deliver God's people. Traveled all this way to the wilderness, all of these things, and had heard God speak about and promise and point to the promised land and all that up ahead. But there came that time when Moses misrepresented God. And so God had to come to Moses and said, Moses, you're not going to be able to enter into it. You won't go into and you won't be able to lead the people into this land that I've been talking about all this time. See, and that was part of God's judgment. Moses could not cross over the Jordan as part of God's judgment because he had misrepresented God. Again, he'd conveyed God as angry when God wasn't. He said, Moses, for that, you can't enter in. You'll be able to look out. I'll give you a view. You can check it out from across the river, but you'll never go in. Think about that. And yet now, here comes a people who are voluntarily choosing to stay outside the land. Can't you just picture Moses? Hey, Moses, we kind of like it here. Can we just stay here? And can't you just go here? Say, excuse me? What? And he's here, really? After all this time, you want to stay outside of all God has for you? All he's been moving us towards? All of these promises, this life that he has for you, you would stay here? What a statement about where God is in their lives, that they would settle for living east of the Jordan. Pastor Chuck Smith made this comment when he was commenting on this portion of Scripture. Chuck says, quote, there is a contentment which is good, and there is a contentment which is bad. The spiritual man is content with his material possessions, yet striving for more of God. The carnal man is content with his relationship with God, yet is striving for more material possessions. End quote. There's a contentment that's good and a contentment that's bad, Chuck is saying there. And the spiritual man is, he's fine with his material things, but he wants more of God. Always hungering for more of God. I'm not going to settle for less than all God has for me. Where the carnal man, he's happy living the east side of Jordan. But he wants more stuff. And so may the Lord this morning challenge us in his love and speak to us because of his love. He wants what's best for us. And he knows living on the east side of the Jordan isn't best for us. He knows what it means to be able to come into a life lived as he intended, as he planned. And how sad to hear someone say, don't take me there. Don't take me across the Jordan. Can I just settle out here? Looks pretty comfortable to me, and got things are going okay here, and I got this kind of, I've got a working relationship of sorts with God, and so can I just stay right here? And what a sad thing. Sad for Moses to hear, sad for God to hear. Oh, the danger of stopping short. Oh, the danger of living on the east side of the Jordan. History tells us that these tribes, by the way, they go on to stay there. They go with this plan B or whatever you want to call it. They do indeed stay there. And history tells us that these tribes were the very first to fall to the Assyrians later on. You can read about that in 1 Kings 22 in there. When you stay outside of that land of Canaan, when you stay outside of the promises and the provision, the protection that God would have for you, you're far more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And that's what they found out. It wasn't the safe and comfy place they thought it would be. Even beyond that, we are told, you remember how Jesus, when he was here walking the earth, he pays a visit to this area. He goes to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, and he goes over in that area. And remember, this is the tribe of Gad, one of them, and it's called the region of the Gadarenes. And we're told, of course, about some descendants, the descendants of these people. They are the Gadarenes. And when Jesus comes to their coast, what happens? First of all, he finds at least some of them are out there raising pigs. Definitely not kosher. No more raising cattle, but they've gone downhill. Now they're raising pigs. But in particular, what happens when Jesus came unto them? Go away from us, they tell him. Get out of here. We don't want you in our area. Think about it. Not entering into the promises, they rejected the greatest promise of all. They wind up rejecting God's Messiah, Jesus. It's a rough place to live, just east of Jordan, settling for coming into all God would have for you. But I want us now to see a contrast. Leave your Bible ribbon there a moment, or your bulletin, and go to your New Testament. Go to the book of Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians. We'll give you a moment just to find it. Go to Philippians chapter 3. For I want to set before us a contrast of sorts. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Now, in Philippians 3, as the chapter's moving along, we can't read all of it this morning, but Paul here, of course, is talking about, hey, he said, if you want to talk about your pedigree, if you think somehow you can command, show God how great you are, if you can earn God, he goes, you think your pedigree is great? I could tell you about mine. And he goes through saying all these great things, born right, raised right, etc. But he talks about, you know what, I came to the point to understand that counts for nothing. Indeed, I count it all loss. He said, much better. He said, I count it loss for the excellency of the knowledge. That Greek word gnosko, heart knowing, experientially knowing the Lord. That's what I want to do, he says. That's what I want to be about. And then we read in verse 12. You're in Philippians 3. For this morning, go to verse 12. Where Paul says, not that I've already attained, I haven't arrived yet, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You don't hear people living, settling on the east side of Jordan making that kind of statement. That's not a let's settle for less than all God has kind of statement, is it? I love these verses. You can count them amongst my life verses. They are so awesome. Paul says, I want to lay hold of what I was laid hold of for. God got hold of me. Now I'm going to get hold of all God has for me. And how is he going to do that? I'm going to press on. I'm going to move into. I'm going to go in and discover all God has for me. I want to know his promises and his peace and all those things he would have. I want to know him again. Know him. Know here is gnosko. It's that word that means to experientially heart know him. Paul said, I want to know him like that. See, you don't know him like that on the east side of the Jordan. But for those who will go into, hunger for, seek all God has for them, but they begin to know him like that. Don't settle for less than that is the call. And what is Paul's part in this? He says, I haven't attained it yet. I haven't arrived at perfection. We won't in this lifetime, but I'm pressing on. See, that's his part. And that's our part likewise. But I press on, in verse 12 he says, verse 14, I press toward it. I don't let the past, when he says forgetting the past, he doesn't mean he doesn't remember the past anymore. If you look earlier in chapter 3, he talks about his past. Doesn't mean he's forgotten it. It's a word that means no longer giving the past the power in my life. No longer letting yesterday determine today. I'm not going to let that decide who I am anymore, but I'm going to let God decide who I am. I'm going to press into Him. I'm going to be all about Him. I want to lay hold of why He got hold of me. And I'm settling for nothing short of that. I love that. I pray that's all of our goals. And that's the invitation. Don't stay on the east side of Jordan. The Lord would say, come on in and discover all that I have for you. So what will it be for us? Will it be this side, meaning the east side of Jordan life? Or will it be the pressing on into all God has for us life? Now I have a question for you in terms of application. Don't answer out loud, at least not at first. But let me ask you, think for just a moment. Why do people choose to stay on the east side of the Jordan? Meaning, why would someone choose to stay out there instead of coming into a life, this life in God's will and His promises and the fullness that He would have for every believer? Why did they choose it? And of course, it becomes the example for why might we choose it? Why might people stay on the east of Canaan? Now, I'm going to ask you to volunteer an answer. In just a moment, you don't have to. But if you choose to, if something's come to mind. Now, I'm not asking you to describe yourself, whether it does or doesn't apply to you. I'm only asking you why, as we think about people in general, believers, and yet people who settle for the east side of Jordan living, people who don't come into all God would have for them. As we think about that, what do you think? Anybody want to volunteer? Now, speak loud because but I'll bear with you. Cindy, what do you got? They're lazy. And I will interpret that to imply it this way, meaning it's comfortable. It's comfortable staying where we're at spiritually. You know, it's the flesh would say, yeah, you don't need to pray. It's just, you don't need to go for that stuff. You got just enough of God. And so, we can be spiritually lazy. We can get used to it. We settle for what's comfortable. Somehow thinking this is the best. This is just fine. I got just enough of God to be saved. I'm okay right here. And people are lazy that way. We can settle for what's comfortable, the easy part of this. What else comes to mind? Go ahead. A lack of faith. Just can't believe that what God has there is better than what I could pick. Better than what I got it pretty good right here. I got my nests pretty good. Got my savings going. How could God have something better than this? So it's just a lack of faith that God indeed can take me into it and has better for me. There was another hand, but maybe I've aced it out. Go for it. Nice and loud, because I'm deaf.
In the case of the tribe that wanted to leave, they had been wandering their whole life and they were in the wilderness. These were people that had not been in the land of the original people leaving from Egypt, not all of them. They had been raised by people who were embittered by leaving Israel, possibly, and being raised in that culture and desensitized to it.
May I summarize that by basically saying what they know where they're at. It's the known. But they know where they're at. This is the known. That's the unknown, right? Okay, you're nodding your head, so it sounds like I've captured that idea somewhat. See, that's so true. Hey, where I'm at is at least I know this. I'm comfortable here. It fits with the comfortable idea. This is known to me. That's unknown. That's unknown out there. Going for all God has, that might be kind of scary. A lot of people have trouble with change. A lot of people have trouble with the unknown. And if we don't know that we can trust God, I think I'll just settle right here. But we can trust Him. He didn't bring us this far to smash us now. He didn't come this far to abandon us now. Indeed, He wants to take us into all He has. So, unfortunately, some people stay in the known because Canaan is the unknown. But though you don't know the land, we know God. He's given them ample reasons. See, some might say, well, maybe they don't enter in because they don't know it's there. They just don't even know it's even possible. I don't buy that. Because they knew. He had told them. And God has told us. He's told us in His Word. He's told us an example by people we've seen in that land. So we know it's there. They know it's there. It's not that. But be it because they're comfortable there, be it because they're afraid of the unknown, whatever it might be. Another reason sometimes people don't enter in is because they listen to other Easterners, those who live on the east side. Because here's a person saying, they begin to say, you know, I want to go for all God has. I think he's calling me to get involved here or to get to know him this way or join this. And unfortunately, people who live on the other side of the Jordan, on the east side, what do? Oh, you don't want to do that. It's scary in there. You don't go there. He might, I've heard he sucks your brain out and sends you to China. You don't want to be available for God to use all of you. You don't go in there, people will laugh at you. They'll think you're like a Jesus freak or something. Oh, people at work will make fun of you. You don't, your friends at school are going to pick on you. You don't want to go. Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't go serve there. Maybe I shouldn't go to. Maybe I should just settle for this. See, people listen to the wrong people. Like Moses warned, don't you know you're going to impact others when you take this stand? And they do impact people. They impact the young ones. They impact the young ones in the Lord. Some of those who've been on the east side of Jordan for a long time get in there and go, oh, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. And how sad. Another thing that some people fear is because there will be battles over there. The Lord doesn't promise us a rose garden. He's not promising. He said they're going to have battles. But he's going to be with them and protect them and give them the means for victory if they choose to follow him. The same for us. See, some people don't want to go into that land, the land of Canaan, going for it in the Lord because, hey, that's where the battles are. That's the area of persecution. You go in there and you're going to maybe be persecuted for the Lord. And that's true, that might happen. But Jesus said, hey, persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But we also say, yeah, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And blessed are you when they persecute you for my name's sake. But it's going to happen. There'll be battles. There'll be fights. But notice back in Numbers 32 and verse 6, remember what Moses said? The very first thing he says in responding to them, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? You mean to say it's okay with you if your brethren go out there into the midst of the fight and you sit here? It's okay if they go share the gospel. It's okay if they're martyred. It's okay if they experience some rejection or persecution at work. I'm just going to stay right here. If I don't say anything, no one's going to pick on me. If I don't move into that, no one's going to think I'm a Jesus freak. Everything will be fine. But Moses' first thing he says is, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? What a challenging statement to all of us. As we right now consider our brothers and sisters who are suffering horrible persecution around the world. Even more than this, just those who go for it. See, if you tend to go for it in the Lord, he typically tends to work in you and through you in certain ways. And that's going to mean serving in different ways. And so may I in love encourage you to think about it? Did you enjoy coming in today and find the sanctuary lit up and warm or cold or whatever it might be and ready to go for you? Great. And that's okay. But there's someone who did that, you know. There's someone who got up early, these guys that got this thing rolling along this morning before we ever got here. And could the Lord say, when is it your turn to get up? Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Should your brethren prepare lessons for the kids while we sit here? Should the center stay closed while we sit here? I've got to be careful, don't I? I could get to rolling here. We're a family. That's what he's saying. Hey, we're supposed to cross over together. There'll be battles in there, but we're going to experience victory together, therefore, and we're going to watch God work in and through all of us. But he says, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? That's a challenging thought. I want for us to think about. Well, time being what it is, let me ask you this. How do we then cross the Jordan? If we recognize, Lord, I don't want to be live on the east side of Jordan. I want to come into all that. Well, that's why I kind of just, there's so much we could have picked, but I picked Philippians 3. Because what did Paul say? He said, Do it. Forget those things behind, meaning quit letting the past, quit letting others, quit letting circumstances set the pace. Instead, now you press on. Begin to pray for and hunger that you would lay hold of everything God laid hold of you for. That you'd come into that place of moment-by-moment fellowship. That you'd discover. It's no longer standing out on the shore admiring the ocean. It's diving in. It's going for it. Lord, I want all that you have. And Lord, I give you permission to use every circumstance I have as part of that. To help me know you, like I said, know you more and more, better and better. I want to move into that land of Canaan. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about that. How to offer our lives as living sacrifices. To not be conformed by the world anymore, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You read those later, but you understand the idea. It's moving into this thing, Lord, I'm all yours. I want to know you in all these ways. I want to discover the promises and the peace and the giftings and all that you have for me out there. I want that spirit-filled life. We're to walk by faith, it's been pointed out, and that's the case. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:7. How do you walk into crossing the Jordan by faith? They lack faith. They couldn't enter in. We by faith do let him. We're to walk by faith, it tells us, not sight. Trusting God in this, or trust Him in those things, and He'll take us into that land of Canaan, the land that He has for us. Believe that God knows what He's doing and has the best for us. That no matter how great the pasture looks here, God knows how to grow green grass. He knows how to take care of our circumstances. Believe Him for that. Again, it's just committing to not settling for less than all God has for us. See, the Spirit-filled life, that life of discovering all that He has for us, it's to be the normal life for all believers. Not just those few super holy spiritual people up there somewhere, but it's to be the life for every believer, moving into and discovering all that He has. What an invitation. It's what we really hunger for. But we stay east sometimes for many different reasons, east of that land, and we settle. And we miss out. And His love, He says, come on, trust me enough. Go for it. Let me have all of you. Let me have all of your circumstances. Let's just go for it in me, would be His invitation. And that is the case. The Lord has His promises, which are sure. He has His peace, not like the world gives, but His peace. He has His power. He has His provision. He has His protection, if we will but avail ourselves of it. Indeed, He has all those works and giftings of the Holy Spirit and all, if we will just move in and hunger for it. But again, but too many live east of Canaan, live out just outside of all that He has, stopping short of all He has for us. Sad place to live. Imagine them walking up and saying, don't take us over into all God has. But may the Lord challenge us this morning with this. It's on my heart this morning to encourage us all. It has a serious tone, of course, because God doesn't want to see us missing out. But on the flip side, think of the awesomeness of the invitation. Come on, I've prepared a place for you. A life lived in the center of my will for you. A life lived discovering all I have for you. Come on in. And don't let others or whatever it might be keep you from all that I have from you. Don't stop short of all that I have for you. So the call this morning is press on. Press on to lay hold of all you are laid hold of for. Seek to live in all of His promises. That land that represents a life lived and what He has for you. And don't ever settle for living east of Canaan. This morning the call is be zealous for God. Go for it. Hunger for Him. Know Him better and better. It's a privilege to do so. And I would like to suggest this in wrapping it up. We will never regret going over Jordan. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. If you're in need of prayer, the prayer partners will be in the prayer room. Come get prayer. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, it starts there. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it's a free gift that we all need. But He offers it to you. Come get prayer for that this morning. Have you done that? Then the next thing is, make sure that we don't stop on the east side of the Jordan. Make sure that we enter into all that He has. May He find us every day hungering for, praying for, seeking after that pressing on life, laying hold of all that He's laid hold of us for. Let's pray. Father, it's an awesome invitation, awesome privilege, awesome what You set before us that we could even do just that, that we can come into knowing You and growing in knowing You, heart knowing You, experientially knowing You, that, Father, You invite us to discover all You have for us. And that even, yes, though there'll be battles and trials and tribulations, that You're faithful. And You know exactly what You're doing. And You've begun a good work, and You will complete it. And You are going to present us before Your throne faultless. And every day we can discover what it means to belong to You. Help us, Lord. Help us all to never, ever settle for living east of Jordan. Lord, I pray we never even visit. But help us stay right there in Canaan. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.